If you're looking for exceptional auto service, head on down to Sullivan Tire. Family owned and operated, they've been serving New England for over 60 years. Their highly trained staff will give you a hand with any of your auto needs. Sullivan Tire offers brand name tires and parts at a price that can't be beat. They're always here to get you there. Sullivan Tire. Welcome back to the My Hockey Life podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. I'm joined by Jake Levin over the phone. Jake, welcome back to the podcast.
Brandon, hello. Happy New Year to you.
And a Happy New Year to you. You've been a busy guy here.
Yeah, starting 2019 off pretty much the same way as 2018, just buried in ice at hockey rinks.
Yeah, and you know what? Not necessarily a bad thing there.
No, certainly not, especially last night's game. BC has very, and that's a good take. It's always a good take over at the Clark Athletic Center. You know, the parking issues notwithstanding, that's a phenomenal rink they have over there on the campus of UMass Boston. And, you know, I wouldn't hate to see them play some tournament games there. Again, parking issues notwithstanding. I cannot stress that enough.
Well, I mean, they do have basketball tournament. They have basketball tournament games there, don't they?
You know, I don't know.
I think they do. I think the MIA has some basketball, like some sectional games there.
It would make sense. It's a very nice facility. It's fairly convenient. It's, you know, it's in Boston without having to go into Boston, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Right,
you get
right,
off
right.
at, you know, the South Boston exit, and then you're right there in Dorchester. It's
yeah,
great.
And it really is kind of a hidden gem over there, too. You obviously don't see it from the road because it's hidden back and sort of on the backside of that campus and tucked away there. But what a great venue for BC High and for UMass Boston to be able to kind of, you know, walk across a parking lot and get to your rink.
It's a nice little setup. It's a warm rink as
it
well.
Is.
I was able
it
to-
is.
You know, take my jacket off. I was just wearing a regular long sleeve T-shirt for the broadcast. That's unheard of in January. I was certainly not complaining.
Yeah, and you were doing double duty there for Globe Schools. Congratulations on the gig there. We're working for the Boston Globe, which is really exciting.
It's added a whole other element, just getting to cover hockey even more and telling more stories, more in the written word rather than the spoken word. But it has been an absolute blast.
So let's talk about the game last night. BC High defeats Xaverian 4-1, correct?
3-1.
3-1. Okay. 3-1 final for BC High. BC High was the number one seed as far as the Globe Schools rankings go. Xaverian, I believe, entered as the 4 seed. I think that's where I got my 4-1.
That is correct.
So what did you see out of both squads last night?
Well, I guess I saw a BC High team that is fast. Their speed is nothing short of remarkable. I think we already knew that. I mean, name that Kramer between Thomas the senior and his sophomore twin brothers, Joseph and Peter. They're all playing on a line together this year. That is, you know, for my money, the best line I've seen in the state yet. And they were really only responsible for one goal last night. Thomas had a shot. I say only one goal, but, you know, Thomas had a shot that probably broke the sound barrier, left a dent in the end wall, but it bounced right back out towards Peter, who was crashing up the left side, and it was a wide open net for him. He buried it, and that made it 3-0. And at that point, you kind of knew the game was more or less at hand. And BC High, they're the team to beat in the Catholic Conference. I think we felt that coming into last night's game, and now we kind of know it, especially with some other scores from around the league last night and really on the season thus far.
Yeah, Thomas has 9 points, Peter has 5, and Joseph has 7. So, you know, there's a remarkable part of the offense right there. If you're, you know, say 6 games into your season and you've got 2-point-a-game guys and one that's pretty close, that's certainly a great way. If you're Coach John Flaherty, you're excited about that line and the chemistry those guys already have, you know, starting with ball hockey in the driveway and knee hockey in the basement. And now they're, you know, taking it to the next level here at BC High. What'd you see out of Xaverian?
You know, Xaverian, they're a physical team, no question. And I think sometimes that does get them into a little bit of trouble just with taking a few unnecessary penalties. But they're still going to be fine. They can move the puck, and they have a very good first line as well with Matty Ryan, Ryan Pompicelli, and Josh Barton that I'll put right up there with any top line in the state. And it's a very veteran-laden Xaverian team. There's not a lot of newcomers. It's much of the same crew as last year. I know they graduated that outstanding defensive pairing of Tommy Dugan and Ross Vona Jr., but still a very experienced team. You got the Joyce brothers, you got Mike Pitticelli, You got Eric Wainwright, Matt Tallarico, Robbie Barletta. Yeah, I'm just afraid I'm going to leave somebody out here. But the beat goes on. Zavarian's going to be just fine. It was a good measuring stick for them, too, to know that they do have some work to do still to compete over a full 45 minutes with BC High. And, you know, they're going to get him again in a couple of weeks. And it's going to be at Zavarian this time, or at least at the Canton Ice House. And that'll be another great game, great measuring stick.
Yeah, and those games are always classics every year. We've done quite a few of the BC High versus Zavarian games, and it seems like every time those two teams meet, you know, no matter what their rankings are or where they are in the standings, they always put together a good hockey game for us.
No question. The one thing, Zavarian, they took five penalties last night. BC High took one in this terms of minor penalties. BC High was 0-for-5 on the power play. That's one thing that did surprise me a little bit, given just how much they were buzzing around the ice. But when you're playing the way they were, 5-on-5, you know, eventually the power play will sort itself out. And I don't want to butcher the kid's name. It's a freshman defenseman. Declan Lonergan, I think I'm pronouncing it right, for BC High, a freshman out of Milton. He is fun to watch. He's a defenseman, like I said, but he plays like a forward, a factor in all zones. He had an assist last night. He's a special player.
Interesting. So then moving on to over the holiday, you've got a bunch of tournaments that happen, a small, you know, we say tournaments, we're talking, you know, four team usually tournaments.
Yes.
You know, some of our the Division One level tournaments that we've taken a look at are the MHL Cup, obviously, that, you know, we've got our name attached to, but also the Sereno and the Frady's Winter Classic. If we could kind of touch upon, maybe start with the MHL Cup and a little bit of information on that and what went down there.
Well, Zavarian, I just got done talking about them and coming up short last night, but they were great out in Framingham at the MHL Cup. Their goaltender, James Herring, was outstanding. He made 35 saves in the championship game against Marshfield, a come-from-behind win over a very good defensive-minded Marshfield team. No small task. Mike Pitichelli was named MVP, and we had Josh Barton on the all-tournament team as well. It was the kind of thing, Pitichelli was the only Hawk who scored two goals, so that's why he was MVP. All their other offense came from just singular skaters, one goal here, one goal there. So it was very hard naming an MVP this year, maybe unlike some past years where it was sort of a no-brainer right off the get-go. And then there were some tough omissions as well, of course, but another player who really shone was Mikey Gersoni from Framingham. He had a goal in both games for the Flyers. He had a shootout goal as well, not that that counts, but nevertheless, he had a penalty shot. He didn't convert on it, but he's an electric player to watch. He's a senior. He's certainly a player to keep an eye on for maybe a Bay State MVP, maybe an All-Scholastic at either the Globe or the Herald or both, Metro West Daily News. He's a fun player to watch. I know he had an empty netter last night as well for Framingham to really seal their 2-0 win over Wellesley. Really fun player to watch, and I know we have plenty more Framingham games coming up. We're actually going to see them against BC High and Hingham. And Framingham, they're off to a 5-1-1 start. With the non-league schedule they play, if they can get some points from BC or Hingham, we could be talking about a Framingham team that finally gets over that Super 8 bubble they've been trying to burst through for a few years now.
Yeah, and the MHL Cup, as far as the teams go, I mean, you're talking about the number 4 team, Zavarian, number 7 Marshfield, number 11 St. John's, and number 19 Framingham. It's a pretty heavy duty tournament. You don't see that too often outside of that tournament down in Falmouth, the Ferrera that we do at the end of the year, where you see that much weight in one sort of tournament. It's remarkable what these four teams are willing to go in and in the middle of the season as a test of their mettle. It's pretty remarkable.
I like these in-season tournaments. You know, do I wish every tournament could be like the Ferrera Classic down in Falmouth? Of course. But, you know, just strictly from a timetable standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do that early in the season. And I get why it's so challenging for 8 teams to come together. That's no small task. Getting 4 teams really on the same wavelength and schedule at any time of year is impressive enough. In the Sereno tournament, that's another one there with the 3 Catholic schools plus Hingham. It really jumped out at me this year. How about Austin Prep holding both St. Mary's and Hingham off the scoreboard? I think a lot of outlets, myself included, at both My Hockey Live and the Globe, we missed a little bit on Austin Prep in the preseason, having them ranked a little too low. They're a clear-cut top 10 team right now, top 8 for Super 8 purposes. and we'll see just how high they can get.
Yeah, Austin Prep, 4-2 winners over Central Catholic yesterday, and 4-0 winners over the Hingham Harbormen on the 28th at Cereno. It's definitely jumps off the page there, those two wins alone.
Well, they got a great goaltender in Robbie Farrell. He, again, posted the shutout in both of those wins, and that really wasn't a letdown. He gave up 2 goals last night to a Central Catholic, and I know it's an undermanned Central Catholic team this year, but no shame in that as long as you're giving up fewer than your opponent. So Austin Prep, I think they've been the most pleasant surprise the first, 2 weeks, we'll call it 3 weeks, I guess, of the season. Not a surprise in that they're good, just a surprise in that they're this good.
And then moving over to the Frady's Winter Classic, what'd you see over there?
A couple of heavyweight bouts, my goodness, between BC High and Pope Francis in particular. So Pope Francis, they certainly made things interesting in the final. Came back, they lost 5-4 to BC High, but they were down 5-2 at one point in the third period. It was a 5-on-3 power play that got them back into it a little bit, but that's when we really saw the Name That Kramer line take off for BC. Thomas was the MVP of the Frady's Classic. BCI hadn't won up there in a while, so that was good for them. Not as big a monkey off their back as the Super 8 from last year, of course. But in terms of getting a big regular season win, that was huge, I think, for their psyche, knowing, you know what, they had some losses in the offseason, but it's going to be full speed ahead for them.
And inside that Frady's Classic, so we saw Reading and St. John's, correct?
And St. John's last night.
Reading and St. John's was last night. I apologize.
No, that's fine. That was an eye-opener, I think, for Reading, a team that's been a little up and down to start the season. They got blanked by their Middlesex League rival Arlington 3-0 a couple of games ago. As a matter of fact, that was their last game before last night, way back on December 22nd. So you do the math, that's about an 11-day layoff. And to come out and beat a St. John's Prep team at home, but nevertheless, it was their first Catholic Conference win for Reading in 6 seasons. It had been a minute. And they play a Catholic Conference team every single year, usually multiple times. They play BC High every year. They play Xaverian frequently. They play Mother Catholic every once in a while. So it was good for Reading to get that victory, and I think that's a big confidence builder moving forward for them, as their schedule certainly has no breaks.
Yeah, you look at Reading's schedule, they're even playing teams like Bishop Hendrickson out of Rhode Island. They've got CM in general. I mean, then they've got the 3 games down at the Ferrera. They're going to run into some heavy hitters in their non-league scheduling.
Oh, they're another school that always has, they're almost always good enough to compete for a Division I state title. It's a question of if they're good enough to compete for a Super 8 title. And I think the expectation this year is that they are a Super 8 contender. Whether that means they can win the whole thing, I'm not sure. But they're on that short list of programs returning enough talent. Michael Tobin, just for starters, the dynamic lacrosse player there. He's a forward for them. They should be on the periphery of Super 8 contention, if not within that top 10 by the end of the season. At least get a play-in game. And last night, I think that's the kind of win that you need against a good Catholic Conference program to show the committee at the end of the season. It won't be enough on its own. They're going to have to take care of business the rest of the way, but that's a huge win for Reading, all things considered, because they lose that game. They're 2-3, and you never know. Things snowball, get out of hand early if things can go south. I wouldn't be surprised if they went on a big run after last night.
Yeah, and I just want to touch, too, upon Pope Francis. Kind of an interesting look at their schedule right now. They've only really played two Massachusetts-based teams so far, and we're looking at it's January 2nd. They've played Central Catholic and BC High. Games before that, they played Xavier out of Connecticut, Wyoming Seminary out of Albany, the Albany Academy, and then Ridley, Ontario. Those 3 schools four schools in that tournament out west, it's interesting, and they've sort of got like a post preseason before they jump into their MIA tournament schedule.
Yeah, I think Pope Francis, they're a true independent now, as if they weren't before. It was the 3-team Catholic West, but now Pope Francis, and I think St. John Shrewsbury would attest to this too. They've been able to get 2 extra games they don't schedule St. Peter Marian anymore. At least Pope Francis does not, I don't believe. And that's two more opportunities to go out and really test themselves for the gauntlet that is the Catholic Conference. And they play all those teams once. They play all the other great public schools once and all the other great non-Catholic Conference schools once. So it just they're just beefing up their schedule. That's really what independence has enabled St. John's and Pope Francis to do. And, you know, it's going to be a backloaded schedule for them, I guess. We're going to see a lot of heavy-hitting matchups for them come the month of February. I know they have their own tournament, the Cardinal Invitational, I believe it is. I think they have Hingham the first weekend of February, Super Bowl weekend. So we're going to hear a lot more about Pope Francis as the season moves along, just because we haven't necessarily quite yet.
So this is their February. Starting on February 2nd, they go Hingham, at Hingham. Then they've got, at home, they've got Fairfield Prep, Del Barton. Then they go on the road to play Austin Prep. Then they go on the road to play Mount St. Charles in Rhode Island. Then they play Malden Catholic at home. And then they've got the championship of the Cardinal Classic. At the end of the season. That is one heck of a month.
That's a who's who of powerhouse hockey programs in the Northeast, spanning from Del Barton down in New Jersey all the way to the very Eastern Shore and the South Shore in Hingham. That's, wow, what a gauntlet for the Cardinals.
But yeah, and they're hitting every state along the way. Handle it. Right, they hit every state along the way.
And, of course, Mount St. Charles, I mean, the program in Rhode Island, at least once upon a time, maybe not anymore, but... Still Mount St. Charles, no question.
Right.
That's an impressive slate.
Yeah. So moving forward here, we're kind of going into what we see as the top three teams in each division right now. In Division One, we've got, in no particular order, although I'm pretty sure I know what your order would be, so we'll put them first. Hingham is 6-1. Head coach Tony Messina's crew, 30 goals for, 10 goals against. They are led right now by senior forward Will Kenny with 12 points and senior defenseman Jake Higgins with 9 points. We did interview them earlier on the podcast and at the
Reagan Summit, perhaps?
At the Reagan Summit, yeah. Goodness gracious, my brain is like mashed potatoes right now.
Still post-New Year's.
Yep, that's true. And then we've got the Braintree Womps. They are 4-1. Head coach Dave Fasano's crew, 19 goals for and only 3 goals against. And then BC High, led by John Flaherty's 4-1-1. They've got 23 goals for, 11 goals against. And again, as we've said before, pick a Kramer, any Kramer. Thomas with 9, Peter with 5, Joseph with 7. In that top three, what do you see?
Well, don't get it twisted. BC has the team to beat right now. I don't think there's going to be any argument from anybody else. However, Hingham, just year in, year out, their ability to turn their roster over and come up with great new players, it's really second to none in Massachusetts. And that's the beauty of being really the only established, independent, public high school program in the state. There's nobody else who has that kind of cachet that Hingham does. And Jake Higgins, he's a 4-year varsity player. Will Kenny, he's a 3-year varsity player now. But beyond that, some of their secondary help, it's a lot of young kids, some sophomores and juniors who, while they may not be freshmen technically, they're first-year players on this Hingham team that has aced almost all their tests thus far, except for just an uncharacteristic showing against Austin Prep that I think says a little bit more about Austin Prep, how good they are, than Hingham. And it can come in flashes for the Harbormen. They were down 1-0 in the third period, entering the third period, I should say, against Marshfield the other day on Monday. 2 goals and 38 seconds later, and Hingham's on top, 2-1, and they're able to just pack it in the rest of the game. Some big saves for Aaron Richardson, who's the first-time starting goalie as a senior for Hingham. That's a little rare. Usually a junior comes along and he takes over the reins for 2 years, but Richardson's the guy right now. It's going to be his only season for the Harbormen, but thus far he's looked very, very capable. A good win over St. John's Prep on his resume already as well. So Hingham, they're going to be just fine. And then Braintree, how about this? You know, they've had some unbelievable goaltenders the last couple of years. You got David McDonough, who's now up at Franklin Pierce playing. Owen Kadire, he was an outstanding 2-year starter for them. And now, Braintree, they've allowed the fewest goals in Division One thus far this season, both in terms of games played and in terms of goals per game. 3 shutouts from 3 different goaltenders. It's wild what's working there for the Womps right now. But, you know, should we be surprised that a Dave Fasano coach team is finding different ways to get it done? No, of course not. They're one of the top programs in the state as well, top publics, and I think Braintree, per usual, has some, you know, not only Division One state title aspirations, but some Super 8 hopes. And it's unique to have three goaltenders who could carry you, theoretically, and I think that'll probably sort itself out over the next couple of weeks. But right now, Braintree is certainly in the discussion for the favorites to come out of the Bay State Conference, Division One South, and you know, maybe make a run at that Super 8.
Yeah, and one of the remarkable things about Braintree, too, is the number of kids they have coming out every year. They had 90 kids at their tryout this year. They've got four goalies on their varsity roster. They have two full JV teams. They've got like a basically like a freshman team and then a, you know, a JV1 and a JV2. And the JV2 team is basically all freshmen, and they're going to go out and play against other teams. Really remarkable, the numbers, just the sheer numbers they're getting. Even in this day and age where kids are bolting to go play juniors or, you know, or going to play at private programs and things like that.
Certainly. I mean, you look at a lot of rosters across the Catholic Conference, you'll see plenty of kids from Braintree. And, of course, their academy is in Braintree. So, not to mention Archbishop Williams, they're competing with so many other factors to keep kids in the program. But it has not really mattered one iota. 90 kids at tryouts speaks for itself. I do want to give name recognition to the three goalies who've recorded a shutout thus far. It's junior Frank Mahoney, sophomore Ben Sullivan, and sophomore Dylan Anderson. So they're really set for the next 2 or 3 years, it looks like, from a goaltending standpoint. And, of course, it helps. They have five returning defensemen, starting defensemen from last year. Kyle Roach, Cam Mooney, Johnny Harrington, who hasn't played yet this year. He's cleared soon enough to return from an injury. So, you know, having an experienced blue line core certainly helps. But, you know, the goalies are those last lines of defense, and all three of them have stood on their heads thus far.
Yeah, and you know, as Harry Neal said from Hockey Night in Canada, he used to say, goaltending's 90% of hockey. Unless you don't have one, that's 100% of hockey. So
that makes sense.
You got three of them in Braintree. What an embarrassment of riches that is. So let's move on to Division Two. We've got Marblehead at 8-0, 36 goals for, 11 goals against. Westwood at 3-1-1 with new head coach Matt Sabet. They are 17 goals for, 8 goals against. And Canton is 5-0 with 28 goals for and 3 goals against.
Yeah, Canton, Westwood, no surprises there. I do understand it's a new coach in Westwood with Matt Sabet, but he took over from an outstanding coach in Mike Welby. So it was a seamless transition. Sabet played for Welby. I believe he graduated in 2007, I believe I read. So Westwood, they're always going to be the team to beat in the Tri-Valley League. Canton, always the team to beat in the Hockomock League. Really no surprises there. You know, I'm not saying this Canton team is, you know, I'm not saying they could go compete for a Super 8 title or anything like that, but I would take them over a lot of Division One South teams. If they were to elevate to the Division One tournament, they'd be on my short list of teams that could make a deep run, no question. And, you know, Westwood, too, I think, for that matter. They're not facing a lot of Division One teams. Westwood's not in the Tri-Valley League. It's all Division Two or Three. But Canton, you know, they're going up against King Philip, Mansfield, and Franklin, who's truly a great team, great program in the Hawk. And Canton beats all of them with regularity, including Franklin a couple weeks ago. I was at that game. They scored two goals in the final seconds of a period. One was literally a buzzer beater, one with 2.7 seconds left. So they know to play right to the whistle. Brian Schumann has taught them well. Love what I see from Canton. And in terms of Marblehead, you know, this is a program that 3 years ago now, they were 21-0-1 in the regular season, advanced all the way to the D2 North Final, wound up losing to Lincoln Sudbury. So it's pretty much a new slate. You know, maybe there's a couple of freshmen still hanging around, or seniors, I should say, that were freshmen back then in 2016. But this is a program that's risen before, and it looks like they have risen again.
Yeah, and interesting, just to go touch on Canton, and you know, you mentioned Franklin, that I could see Canton deciding if they wanted to, they could move up to D1 and still replicate that level of success they've had. They've got that deep program. They've also got a really excellent youth program. They've got a lot of sheets of ice in that town now, with the ice house, two sheets at the ice house. It wouldn't surprise me if they, at some point when the realignment comes down, usually the realignment happens every 4 years, if Canton moved up to Division One, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, you know, it's having that beautiful rink down in Canton helps you now with the Canton Ice House. You talk about one of the best facilities in the state, and I think that helps.
I do think that helps building these great programs, having a great rink in town in Canton. Now, there's two rinks in town. They also have the Canton Sportsplex as well, just across the street. But that's certainly, I think, a factor in some of these great programs, having the rinks like that.
Right, and you think about the kind of recruiting that you can do as a head coach. You play for the Canton High School team. You've got a locker room in the building. You've got a youth program that plays in that same building. Those kids walk by the Canton High School locker room. Both boys and girls have locker rooms in there. And you walk by down that hallway, and you see Canton boys with their locker room, and you're in your Canton youth sports jersey, and you see that locker room, and you think about playing for Canton High. You see them on the ice, you know, maybe before you or after you, or you see the crowds, and you know they've got that great public access channel that they play all their games on.
Yep.
It's quite the program that they've got built there, and they're keeping kids in town too because of it.
Yeah, I mean, you think about a player who's in the NHL right now, and Kevin Rooney. He played 3 years at Canton High before deciding to go to prep school. And I think that was a necessary move for him at that time to advance his career. He was that special a player, but also he was that special a player, and he played 3 years of public high school hockey. That's a credit to the Canton program. I think they were able to keep a player of his caliber on the roster for that long.
You know, let's move to Division III. We've got Bishop Stang at 6-0-1, 25 goals for, 11 goals against, led by senior forward Caleb Akella. He's got 12 points. And sophomore Ben Saunders is a defenseman with 11 points. They've been splitting their goaltending time between freshman Matt Dorr and junior William Walsh. So far, so good if you're Bishop Stang. And then Hanover, 6-0-1. Surprise, surprise, Hanover's good. 27 goals for, 10 against, led, of course, by superstar goaltender Kevin Chandler. He's got a 1.47 goals against average and a .917 save percentage. And then, of course, it's Manning Morris and Lucas Lanigan putting the puck in the net, as usual, for Hanover. And then the third team here that we're going to highlight is Hudson at 6-1-0, led by senior forward Cam O'Brien with 12 points and outstanding senior goalie Ryan Gonzalez. He's got a 1.00 goals against average and a remarkable .956 save percentage.
You know, a good goals against average is a bad GPA, but that's a phenomenal goals against average there by Gonzalez. My goodness, an even one. So I was actually talking with Johnny Abbin, the Hanover coach, this morning for a little feature we're doing in the Globe. And just Manning Morris, the kind of player he is, he's a sophomore now. You know, he was a freshman last year on last year's team that went unbeaten in the regular season before falling short against Shrewsbury. He has really picked up the slack left behind by his older brother Connor Morris and by Zach Taylor, now playing at Kimball Union. Manning Morris, 8 points in his last two games. He had two shorthanded goals in a span of 37 seconds in last week's game against Oliver Ames. So I think he's been watching his Patrice Bergeron highlight films just to study his game. And then Lucas Lanigan, of course, what can you say? He was riding shotgun with Connor Morris and Zach Taylor on that line last year. And, you know, the faces around him have changed, but he's still producing at a very high level, no question. Having Chandler helps, of course. You always need the goaltender. Hanover, it's similar the way their schedule's playing out to last year. This 6-0-1 start, they tied against Wellesley, a Division I program with, you know, obviously a ton of resources, and the fact that Hanover could tie with them, you know, I say a little Division III program, but at the end of the day, a Division III program tying a Division I team, that's impressive. They beat Duxbury, a Division I program, in the regular season opener, and now they're just making work of the Patriot League, and they're going to be very well tested when the Division III South tournament does come around, and I think they're going to be right on that top line yet again. I'm looking at the rest of their schedule here and some more tests coming up. They don't have Canton until February the 13th, a little late in the game, but that's going to be a very good game for two teams that, you know, could be hanging around for their respective state championships. You know, we'll have to see how the brackets shake out, but there's never a bad time to go check out a Hanover game either at Havemock Arena. Where all sorts of teams play, whether it's Silver Lake, Pembroke, Scituate. Did I say Scituate? Scituate, Silver Lake.
Scituate, Marshfield, Pembroke. Yeah.
Marshfield, of course, duh. I'd like to see a Hanover-Marshfield game. That'd be kind of a fun series.
It would be, and I'll tell you what, if you're looking to see your Hanover game, it's going to be Saturday, January 5th. It's this Saturday, 3:10, Hanover versus Scituate. And if you miss that one, Saturday, February 2nd, would be the next time to see the exact same matchup at 3:10. Hanover versus Scituate would be an outstanding game to see. You've got two very, very good teams, two very well coached teams, playing you know, for their side of the league, basically, I would imagine by that point in February.
Certainly. And then, you know, we talked about Bishop Stang. They're going to be playing Hanover on February the 9th. That's right before the Canton game. In Hanover, they close out with the Gould tournament. They'll get Norwell and maybe even Scituate a third time, depending on how the bracket shakes out, and Bourne as well prior to the Gold Cup. So Hanover, they play the gauntlet, and they will have earned wherever they finish up.
Hanover is a new entrant to the Gould tournament. They start with Pembroke. And then, like you said, they'll play the winner of or the loser of the Norwell versus Scituate game, depending upon how that goes. So interesting to see. Nice to see Hanover jumping in there into that Gould tournament. It's a nice tournament for that rink. And, you know, it's something I always enjoyed being a part of, too, as a coach. So kind of moving forward here, what do we got coming up on the slate at My Hockey Live?
Well, we got an ISL and an MIAA game this weekend. We got Zveri and CM and another huge Catholic Conference tilt on Saturday at 7. That's at the Canton Ice House, I believe. I'll be on the call for that one. And then at 5:30 across town at the Canton Sportsplex, we should talk about Canton. We got Thayer Academy taking on Nobles. I believe that is a Paul McNamara special. That'll certainly be another good one. And then next Wednesday, we have a couple of new programs who have never been featured on My Hockey Live before, both ISL and MIAA. We're going to have St. Mark's playing host to, I believe it's Roxbury Latin. I need to confirm.
On the 9th? Lawrence Academy on the 9th, yeah.
Okay, Lawrence Academy. All right, nevertheless. So St. Mark's, they're going to be featured. It's a boys-girls doubleheader. And that's going to be right before Triton takes on Newburyport, way up on the Cape Ann League. Two programs that have never been featured on My Hockey Live before, so very excited to see what they bring to the table. And Newburyport, I know they were kind of on the periphery of Super 8 contention a season ago. Another team that's gone out, beefed up their non-league slate, playing schools like Franklin, playing schools like Needham. So far, they're 1-1 in those games. They beat Franklin, came up short against Needham. But, you know, Newburyport's going to be a good take, and I think Triton has some high expectations this year as well.
Yeah, check out myhockeylive.com for all this action. Season pass is only $52. It's a great value. Ton of high school hockey that you can watch, and also some ACHA college hockey and independent school league hockey as well.
Of course, yeah. I'm looking at Newburyport's schedule now. They also have a nice win over North Reading, nice win over Westford Academy, and a nice win over Pentucket as well. And, boy, they're going to keep getting tested. They got St. Mary's Lynn coming up. They have Canton. Another, you know, it all comes back to Canton. They're taking on St. John's Prep at Winchester. Really impressive non-league slate the Clippers have put together.
That's great stuff here, Jake. Thank you again, as always, as we wrap up the My Hockey Live podcast. Anything you'd like to plug?
Nah, not really. I think we covered all the bases here today. Great job, as always. And, you know, just a quick Winter Classic thought from the other day.
Absolutely. How did we forget about this?
Well, you know, should the event come back to Boston, it's Harvard Stadium or bust. I get that it's only about a 35,000-seat capacity. Hey, that's still twice the size of the TD Garden. So maybe it doesn't even have to be the Winter Classic. It can be part of the stadium series. Get the Bruins playing. I don't know. It could be whomever. Get the Rangers in there. A little Boston-New York thing. I haven't played them in one of these games yet.
You know,
we've already played the Flyers, Canadiens, and now Blackhawks. So it's another traditional rival.
How about a home-and-home stadium series game? Bruins Rangers, Harvard Stadium, Bruins Rangers, the Yale Bowl.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. But really,
Harvard Yale, home and away.
But Brandon, you know as well as I do, what we need is for the Whalers to come back and they can host that game at the Yale Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. I love every sound of. Oh, and there's the bell.
There you go. Well, hey, class dismissed, right?
And there it is. We'll cue the brass bonanza and away we go. All right, Jake, thanks so much again.
No problem at all.
Great stuff, as always. Check out Jake in the Boston Globe. Check out Jake on NBC 10 Boston. Check out Jake with Troy Brown and Adam Jones on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And where else are we finding you, Jake? On Twitter.
My Hockey Live.
On My Hockey Live and Twitter at Jake Levin.
Jake Levin09.
At Jake Levin09. All right, and that's it. That'll do it for the My Hockey Life podcast this week. Catch us next week, and we'll see you again.